what kind of God is this? He says, you should remember me, you should praise me, you should worship me, you should, you know, express your gratitude, constantly remember me. So does this God want, is he like a politician, you know, that if you praise him and you remember him and you reach him, then he will bless you? And then he says, you should do my work for me. Somebody might say, you know, I am so busy taking care of my own jobs. Now I have to do your work too. If you want, you know, there are a lot of other fools in this world. You can find them to do your work. I don't have time. I am busy. I have a problem with my wife, my children, my family, my home, my business. And on top of that, I have to do your work. So does God want us to remember him, thank him, and do his work because it makes him feel good? You know, that's what one might think, because in the last verse he said, you know, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So he says, whatever you do, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you charity, dedicate everything to me. So what is the benefit? What am I going to get out of it? Because we are all very selfish, that only if I get something out of it, I'll do it. Otherwise, don't waste my time. So that question may arise in the student's mind, that why does God want us to remember him, praise him, express our gratitude to him? So that is answered in the next verse as to what is the benefit. Why should we do it? Because God is perfect. He is complete. And he does not need our praise or our appreciation to make him feel any better, because he is above and beyond all of these. So when the Lord says, remember me, worship me, express your gratitude to me, it is because it benefits us. Not that it benefits him or it makes him feel better. It's like the sun. You know, the sun continues to bless us. Whether you get up in the morning and, you know, do the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhurbhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam. Oh, the worshipful sun, you know, you are the one that is giving all the energy to us, and you are illumining my sense organs, and please give me the right knowledge. So either you worship the sun in the morning, or you get up in the morning and say, this suraj kahan se aa gaya? You know, why is this sun come up so early in the morning? I wanted to sleep a little more. And you get up and curse the sun. It's so hot. The sun doesn't care. The sun, whether you bless him or curse him or you thank him, he just gives his blessings to the whole earth, because that is the sun's nature. The sun does not depend on our praise or our criticism. So similarly, the Lord does not depend on our praise or our criticism. It is for our own benefit. That is why the next verse will tell us why you should constantly remember the Lord and what is the benefit of that. Otherwise, you know, why should I do it? So that is the short introduction to the next verse. So verse number 28.
Shubha Shubha Falai Revam Mokshase Karma Bandhanaihi Sanyas Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Maam Upaishyasi.
So Shubha Ashubha Phala. Phala means the results of actions. So he says there are good actions and bad actions, and they have good and bad results. So he says you will be freed of mokshase. You will be totally freed of the results of good and bad actions and karma bandhanaihi. And you will be freed of the bondage of action. How does action bind us, and what does he mean by good and bad results? We shall talk about that. But he said you will be freed from all the results of good and bad actions, and all the bondages of all your karmas you will be freed of. How? Sannyasa yoga yuktatma. Atma means that individual. Yukta means endowed with. Sannyasa yoga. Sannyas means detachment. Yoga means to hold on to. So detachment, attachment yoga. He says, what do you mean by detachment, attachment yoga? What kind of yoga is that? He says, one who is endowed with this detachment, attachment, he will be vimukta. Mukta means free. Vimukta means visheshena mukta, totally free. See, one is I'll be free. Other one is I'll be totally free of all my bondages, all my sorrows, all my problems. And he says, mama upeshyasi. And one who practices this yoga of detachment and attachment and remembers me in all his activities will reach me. Mam upeshyasi. Upeshyasi means he will reach. So when he's talking about the bondage of good and bad actions, he's talking about the vasanas. In the top drawer, there is a silver pointer, if you can please get up. There are one pointer hai. In the top drawer, there is a pointer, silver. So what is the result of good and bad actions? When I do good and bad actions, I develop vasanas. And Swamiji in his commentary says that actions done with the ego and egocentric actions create more vasanas. What do we mean by ego and egocentric actions? What we mean by ego and egocentric actions are actions done with the idea of I and mine. When I say I am doing this action, or it is my property or my success or my job or my... So when I and my come, that I did so much, I am such a wonderful, person, I do so much for the world, I help so many people. The moment this I comes, or it is my property, my house, my child, my success, or it could be my failure, my loss, my gain. So when the I and my come, then it develops an ego, that I am the doer. And once there is the ego that I am the doer, then it separates me from everybody else. Because I and then he and she and mine and yours. And so ego and egocentric actions separate me from others and separate me from him. Because ultimately he is the doer of everything. Whatever abilities I have, even the ability to talk, the ability to walk, the ability to think, ability to feel emotions, everything comes from him. He is the doer. And a person who works with that attitude that he is the doer, I am just his instrument. I am just the pen. He is the author. When an author writes a famous novel, he might say, I am a great author. I sold, 5 million copies. I'm on the New York Times bestseller list. Then it might give him an ego. But if he says, I was the pen, and he is the writer, and he used me to write this beautiful novel, then immediately the ego gets reduced, and he dedicates his actions to somebody else. And then the same action, the same writing of the novel can become a purifying action, or can become an action of developing an ego. That I am the best author in the world, or I am a humble instrument of the Lord. I am so grateful that he gave me the ability to write this novel. And through me, this novel came out. And whatever success I have, I dedicate to him. So how do we develop our vasanas? Vasanas are our selfish tendencies. And the vasanas develop when actions are done with ego or egocentric attitude. That I am the doer, I and mine. The more I do I and mine, the stronger becomes the vasanas. And the vasanas are like a layer of, which obscures, like this sunlight is coming through the window. But if you put a black curtain on all of them, then the room will become dark because the sunlight will not come in. And then you'll go around hitting your head on the wall and say, why is there no sunlight? Why? Because you have blocked all the windows. So vasanas are like that black curtain which blocks the consciousness. Each and every one of us is a manifestation of that divinity which we call as Om. You can call it Jesus, you can call it Allah, Buddha, but it is the consciousness within me that is expressing through my body, mind and intellect. through the body, mind and intellect, this consciousness is expressing, and this is the instrument. So I am not this body, but the body is an instrument through which I express. So if you have that attitude, then such a person is a saint, because such a person says that the Lord is working through me. And a saint is a one who has minimum of vastness. He has minimum of selfish desires, minimum of ego, and he becomes a wonderful servant of the Lord, and then he is the one who becomes the Jesus or the Buddha or the Shankaracharya or the Swami Chinmayananda or all the great prophets. And people who have minimum of vasanas are the ones who are freed of shubha shubha phala. Shubha shubha phalaiva means the good and bad results. So good and bad results give us vasanas. And the more and more I am attached to the result of the action, so I am so focused on the result that I want to be successful no matter what. No matter how I cheat or how I lie or how many people I step over on my climb to the top of the ladder in the corporate ladder, and we find in the corporate world, that is the way, you know, how many people you can put down, how successful you can become. So success is determined so they say success is not determined by where you reach, but the means you utilize. It's not whether you win the game, it's how you play. You know, here it says, no matter what, you should win. If you have to lie, cheat, doesn't matter. But spirituality says that the path is more important than the goal. Because the goal being the same, one who uses a noble path is a nobler person, even though he may not reach the final, as to another person who uses wrong means and cheats and lies, then his success is not truly success. So that what he says, that give up this attachment for the fruits, and how can the karmas bind us? You know, karma bandhanaihi. So they say the karmas can only bind you again when you think of yourself as being the doer. But if you say the Lord is the doer, then no karmas can bind me, because I didn't do anything. The Lord worked through me, and all the success goes to him. And even if I failed, Lord, the failure is yours. It's not mine. So idea is that, not that, you know, person doesn't care if he succeeds or fails, but that I did my best. Oh Lord, it's okay. It was not meant to be. And with that attitude, that I was not meant to win this race. I did not try high enough, hard enough, or that was somebody else tried better, or that was it. So with that attitude, when the person works in the world, dedicating all activities to the Lord, slowly, slowly his vasanas get reduced. As his vasanas get reduced, his mind becomes more quiet, more peaceful. Because why is my mind agitated? Because I wanted something and I didn't get it. Or somebody else got ahead of me and then I became jealous. So as I reduce my selfishness, my desires become less, the mind becomes more peaceful. It does not mean that the person becomes like a stone, you know, sitting there, it doesn't matter whether I win or lose. No, not like that. In fact, he becomes a more efficient instrument. He or she, when they work dedicating their activities to the Lord, then the Lord works through them. And their actions can affect millions and billions, like we see Buddha or Jesus or Swami Chinmayananda. So many people throughout the world are benefiting from these actions. So they become great instruments of the Lord, and they get freed of this bondage of actions, this bondage of vasanas. And then he talks about sannyasa yoga, and Vyasa was wonderful in creating new terms that had nowhere in Sanskrit. You will find this term called sannyasa yoga. Sannyasa means to detach, and yoga means to attach. So what does he mean by detach and attach? So Swami Chinmayananda says, he says, if you want to, in two words, express spirituality, just say detach and attach. Once you learn those two, you don't need to learn anything more. What do you mean detach and attach? So he says that for any progress, you have to detach from the lower and attach to the higher. Detach from the lower and attach to the higher, like a flower. Now, flower cannot say, I'm always going to remain a flower. I never want to become a fruit. No, the flower gives up its flowerhood so it can become a sweet fruit that everybody can enjoy. A child has to give up its childhood to become a youth and to fulfill its full potential in life. It has to grow up like a bird, you know, sitting in the nest and saying, I don't want to leave my nest. I don't want to leave my nest. I love my nest. It's so comfortable. It's so warm and the mother brings food. I have nothing to do. I can enjoy my life. But the mother will poke the bird. Get out. Why? Because the bird has to fly free in the air. And to realize its full potential, it has to give up attachment to that nest. You cannot all the time live in the nest. So the mother will say, you want to fly free in the world? Accomplish what the bird is supposed to accomplish. You have to leave the security of the nest. But in our case, we are like that little bird. I do not want to give up my bad habits. I do not want to give up my attachments. I'm so attached to objects, emotions, thoughts. I'm so attached to my objects, my things, my possessions, my people, my emotions, and my ideas. You know, I'm so fanatical. I do not want to give up my ideas. I do not want to give up my possessions. But I want to become spiritual. I want to evolve spiritually. So we go to the guru. You know, guru, can you please give me a spiritual pill? So if I swallow that, and I'll become very spiritual. You know, and Swamiji says there is no such pill. You have to detach from the lower to attach to the higher. Every one of us has this higher, the divinity within us. But our problem is that we are so constantly involved in just the world. I just want to do more and accomplish more and reach more and study more and read more and internet and surf the web and work, 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 work. I don't have time. In the process, I forget what is the reason for human birth. Why was I given this human body? Why was I given this human intellect? To realize the self, to know him. And as long as I am lost in this world and spend, we are not saying that you shouldn't work for your family or for your career or profession. Yes, I have to do that, but that's not my main goal in life, and that has to be very clear that the reason I took birth is to reach the self, to realize God, to become one with him. Until I do that, my journey is incomplete. The journey can only become complete when I merge with him. And that can happen only when I detach from the lower and surrender and give myself to him. And that is like the river, you know, the river will go through, we have talked about that, she will go through like the Ganga River starts in the Himalayas, goes through the plains of India. And as she's traveling, she's serving people on both sides. People are taking water and people are even putting the dirt and she accepts it all. She gives water to the farmers and to the people and everything she makes so, you know, fertile. And then at the end, she merges with the ocean. That is her goal. So similarly, a wise person works throughout one's life, serving people on both sides, but remembering that my goal is to merge. And in that merger, it's not that the person becomes nothing. You know, you might say the person will become useless. No, in that merger, he recognizes that I am that divinity. And he actually becomes infinite. That's why these great Mahatmas, they are immortal. You know, no matter even 10,000 years from now, people will still be remembering Jesus and Buddha and Swami Chinmayananda and Shankaracharya because these great prophets and sages and saints are immortal. Why? Because they have become one with that immortal reality. And so that is the end result. It's not that by merging the person becomes a zero. You know, one is that, oh, person becomes nothing. No, the person becomes immortal like the Ganga when she merges with the ocean. She becomes the infinite ocean. She's no longer one little river, so or like the Mississippi when it merges into that Gulf of Mexico. She becomes that infinite ocean. So that is what he says, that one who practices detachment from the worldly objects attaches to me. And detachment we have to make clear. Because detachment does not mean that I don't love my child, or I don't love my job, or I don't love my dog, or I don't love my people or my things. But detachment means dependence. I and my. That if I have this object, I am complete. If I don't have this object, I'm incomplete. This person didn't smile at me this morning, so I'm unhappy. And this person smiled at me, I am happy. So that dependence is what we call as attachment. So a wise person says, look, I am that immortal self. If somebody appreciates me, fine. If they don't appreciate me, I am still fine. Because I am not dependent on people's praise and appreciation for my happiness. Because I find happiness within, in the Lord's presence. And once you are with Him, then these petty things of the world do not affect you. And those are the wise people, those are the prophets, those are the who have discovered their oneness with the Self, who have become one with Him. And while they are working in the world, they serve the world. Why? Because they see themselves in all. A wise saint sees everybody as me because they are all created by that one Father. Or even higher is that, like a river, when she merges into the ocean, then she sees that all these waves are me, all the rivers of the world are me. Then there is no competition. So that is the goal, and that is what the prophets and the saints and the sages have reached that stage. These prophets have become agents of the Lord, and that is what He says. That is why you should remember me. It's not that it is not for my benefit. It's not that I will be happy with you and I'll be unhappy with you. It is for your own benefit. It's like the magnet. You know, one little iron piece comes close to the magnet, gets magnetized. Another one that, you know, is away from the magnet does not have that power. So, and that little magnet, the little piece can then become a magnet and pick up other iron pieces too. So similarly, a person who comes close to the Lord becomes like Him and then can influence other people. And that's what all the scriptures and all the good books and all the saints give us, the same message, that turn your mind towards Him, constantly remember Him, and you will become like Him. And that is the final goal of human birth. And this is a very beautiful verse that I think if one applies even this verse, you know, just detach and attach. Detach from the lower and attach to the higher. Then there is really, there's nothing more else you need to know in spirituality. You don't need to read any more books. You don't need to go to any teachers. You don't need to come to the Sunday class. Just apply this one thing and you are done. So the point is that every one of these shlokas in this Bhagavad Gita is so powerful that if you just memorize one, learn it, make it part of your thinking, and start applying that in your life, then you can reach that highest. And that is why this book is so dear to us, because it is the Lord's mouth Himself. The Lord Himself has given us this message. It is not even through a prophet or a saint, which is, I'm not saying that that's not good. But here it is the direct message from the Lord Himself. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is such a beautiful text. I'd like to have any comments? When you talk about giving up karmas, it's not that the action you do becomes useless. It's not that you're throwing away the action, but the action may not help you, but may help somebody else. Like she says, like you plant a tree. Now the tree takes 10, 15 years to grow, and by that time you may be dead. So you'll say, well, why should I plant the tree? No, because by planting the tree, somebody else may benefit. My children or grandchildren may enjoy the fruit, or, you know, birds may come and enjoy the fruit. People may seek shelter under the tree and, you know, be saved from the sun. So he planted the tree, but not with the idea that I am going to benefit. It is for the benefit of all. And in that process, he gets attached to the higher. So his action becomes pure because it's not done with a selfish motive.
Happy to do it. I'm excited I'm able to do it. Is that borderline ego in
there? I think when you do something good, you get a good feeling. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if that action is done, it just is, oh, I help somebody and the person is grateful, I feel good, even if it's done anonymously. So there's no ego in that. The ego comes either if that action is done so that I may become famous. Like I donate, you know, I build a school or I donate a lot of money so that they may vote for me in the next election. Then that action, then there is even though it is service, it is egocentric. Or if the service is done with the idea of making the other person feel inferior, like I give somebody $20 and then insult him and say, you know, you are so worthless. You're not even, you know, so then that, even though that service is done, but if it is done either with making myself famous or by making myself feel superior to the other person, then those actions can reduce ego. But if I help somebody and I get an inner feeling of goodness, there's nothing wrong with that. Because every action leaves some residue. There's no action that is totally 100% pure. It will leave either a good or bad result, good or bad residue. And the residue of the action are the feelings that are left in our mind. Like if I do a criminal act, even though nobody knows about it, but I know about it, so it will leave a negative residue in my mind. And similarly, if I do a good act, even though nobody knows about it, but it will leave a good residue. So that I don't think that is ego in that. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.